Good morning, everyone. Once again, praise the Lord for his goodness, his mercy that endures forever. Let me just free my Bible from all these papers here. Getting too full now. Let me make some order here. Quite a lot. Not quite sure whether I was going to preach or to teach. I am used to teaching, and increasingly, more and more, I find it difficult to preach, but I'll try today to preach. My introduction would be just quoting for you, because there will be quite a lot of quoting today. Quoting of biblical verses and extra-biblical quotes as well. Quite a lot, bear with me. The reason I'm saying that, I'm not sure whether I would be teaching or preaching, but it's more of a teaching, is because you're used to me taking a portion of the Bible and deepening and explaining a relationship between different verses, but that won't be the case today. I'll be navigating through quite a few verses here and there to be able to make my point. I'm starting with a quote from Romans 11, that's verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The second quote, by way of introduction, is from Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. That their heart may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So those verses put together form the introduction to the talk for today. God's judgments are unsearchable and his ways past finding out unless he reveals them to us. In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, in the Bible, wisdom and knowledge are not interchangeable. They are not the same word. One leads to the other. They are like twin sisters, but they are not synonymous. Our second daughter, Katia, who lives at university in Warwick, attended a church in Coventry, and she got in the church, and the preacher was about to start the preaching, and the preacher said, I know a brother in London. He's been a friend of me for many years. His name is Guy. He always gives a title to his teaching, and I love that. If you forget everything, you keep the title. And get him. So it's good to give a title. That encouraged me to continue. It's not even optional, because even in the Bible itself, every section has a title. Praise the Lord. And Keta was shaking. But I must confess that for this particular topic here, it's been difficult to find a title. I've been changing all the time. And I give you liberty to give a title yourself. But for those who will be uploading, I will be disciplined to give a very funny title. From Wisdom to Wisdom is the title. From Wisdom to Wisdom. And we will be reading about four main scriptures. But in between, I'll be quoting quite a lot of scriptures in between, saving you to turn the page of your Bible. I'll be quoting them for you. We will only turn it four times. God willing. From Wisdom to Wisdom. First reading. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. That's the word of God. Wisdom is the principal thing. A good brother used to tell me back in Africa, he used to say, so much damage are caused in people relationship in the name of wisdom. Everybody thinks he's wise. Everybody thinks he's wise. Let me give you some. What's the opposite of wisdom? Thank you very much. So let me give you some example of foolishness. One sister lost her father. And she was very sad. And a brother came to comfort her publicly. And he said to her publicly, was your father a believer? In front of everybody. You see, you're smiling. That's an extreme version of foolishness, isn't it? Well, can you imagine how many of those are done every day? In the name of wisdom. Everybody thinks he's wise. Everybody thinks he can counsel. Everybody can, I can say this to you. I can say this to you. Tell me your problem. I can help you. Everybody thinks he can be a master and a counselor. Here is another example. One of our daughters was born, and it can't be the first one, because otherwise they wouldn't say that. It should be either the second or the third, most likely the third. And she's not here. And I meet a sister from the church. And she said, praise the Lord, congratulations for the new baby. But never mind, God will provide a boy one day. Oh, she knows her story, that's why she's laughing. Oh, there she is. Oh, never mind, God will provide a boy one day. Well, it wasn't a disability for me. I've never prayed for a boy. You know, you taking your thoughts and you putting on me. I've never prayed. After, I was prepared to live with the three girls. And I educate them and I taught them to be strong in life. I didn't know God will give them two more troublemakers. So to come to congratulate me and say, oh, never mind, it doesn't matter, God will provide. You see, that's extreme foolishness. And then she add to the praise of God. So you have a lot of foolishness going on around. All in the name of wisdom. Everybody thinks he's wise. And when you listen, it's pure foolishness. From wisdom to wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. You see, once again, wisdom is not the same as understanding. In many places in the Bible, you will do me a great favor if you stay awake. In many places in the Bible, you find them side by side. Two of them. It's always wisdom, understanding, and sometimes knowledge is added. Which means, from the biblical perspective, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom are not interchangeable. They work together because one leads to the other, but they are not the same. So, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is what? I know you will say it's the fear of God. But according to what I'm teaching here, and the verse you've just read, the beginning of wisdom is to get it. You will understand that's why I'm here. The beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom. Who is wise? I think it was Blaise Pascal, the inventor of the calculator, which formed the basis of the modern computers, etc., and all the probability calculus, all the probability stuff, you know, the insurance company, you give your date of birth, where you live, etc., and they determine your lovely premium. It was a great mind called Blaise Pascal who invented those things. And he said, I only know two intelligent people, two wise people. First, those who recognize that they are sinners and seek the Savior, and those who have found the Savior. Well, you would expect such a man to define intelligent person as someone who is, lend me your favorite word, sophisticated. No. He said a wise and intelligent person is the one who recognizes his deficiency. That he is lost and he needs a Savior and he repents. That was his definition of a wise person. Such person will then seek God, the depth of riches of wisdom and knowledge. You see, a wise person going to seek wisdom of God, from wisdom to wisdom. To get wisdom, get wisdom. Begin to move, yeah? Begin to go in the right direction. Praise God. Well, you can't be seeking wisdom and going to the fountain of foolishness. If you are wise and you seek wisdom, you go to the fountain of wisdom. From wisdom to wisdom. So, the beginning of wisdom is to get it first. In this passage, the word understanding means intelligence, prudence, insight, common sense, and good judgment. God wants us to get these things. He don't go around messing up with nonsense and foolishness and say, the Spirit is leading me. No. God wants you to reach logical interpretation and understanding. Clear and sound mind, the Bible says. His Spirit, the Spirit of a sound mind, not foolishness. Not displaying foolishness and saying, it doesn't matter, it's a revelation from God. It's between me and God. I've heard people say, is the covenant between me and God. Your God, your covenant with your God leads to foolishness. That's not the God of the Bible. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom first. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Because wisdom will lead to understanding. And will make you intelligent person by God's definition of intelligence. You will be prudent in your decision making. You will make godly choices in your daily lives. You see. Okay. About 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, I received a message of people who were married for some time now. They have two children. And the lady was almost crying because of the way she's being treated by the husband, not looking after her. She's completely, in despair. It wasn't a good story at all to hear. And I took that message and I called these three girls here. And I put on the table, I said, listen to that for me. And they listen. It's about 6-7 minutes. I say, listen. Some of you attended the wedding of this person. It was all good about a few years ago. How many years? 5 years. It was good. Big party. It was all good. And white dress and all that. 5 years after. Bitterness after bitterness after bitterness. Finish. The husband is not looking at her. He's not looking after her. He's all finished. He's despair. Finish. And she's had a baby who is 2 months. And the man has gone to get drunk now. They earn $400 US, and half of that he buys his shoes. And the rent for the house is 150. There's only £50, $50 left for himself to drink. I say to them, be very careful with marriage. Be very, very careful. You know this person, you've known her when she was a young person. Marriage, marriage, marriage. There we are. I say, think. Think. And then I finish that and I start going running to that fourth station to go and collect my spouse coming from work late in the night, and I get another phone call. Hello. Yes, hello, Brother Guy. Hello. Hello. Brother Guy, I'm really ashamed of what I'm going to tell you now. It's really painful. I'm really ashamed. My wife has filed a divorce. I'm really ashamed to have to tell you this. But this is someone I prayed for on the day of the marriage, the wedding, in front of everybody. This is the person who was dancing more than everyone else. And start persecuting his wife and insulting his father and the father's wife. And went back, a Christian, went back to drink, to do, and start buying expensive stuff. And the wife was in despair. Brother Guy, I'm really ashamed. I don't know where to start. My wife has filed a divorce now. I said, so what do you want from me? I've been counseling the person for years. I shout at the person on the phone. I say, you lied to me. You caused me to pray for you publicly. Your heart was not right. You did not love that lady. You just wanted her because she was successful with a new job. She was intelligent and bright person. You lied to me. And I say, don't do that. Now you coming to me, Brother Guy. I say, so what do you want? What outcome do you want from this conversation?
I will be very grateful if this could be reversed.
I say, but I am angry with you, not because you lied to me, but because you've offended God who is against divorce. The Bible says God hates divorce. I say, now I'm going to tell you what is going to happen to you for the rest of your life. Number one, you and your wife won't be able, because you're relatively younger, you will want to live with another spouse. If you do that, you commit adultery. From the biblical perspective. Anyone who comes to attempt to marry your wife, commit adultery. That's the position in which you've put your wife. Adultery for life. Impossible position. What kind of love is that? To put your wife in that position. To cause anybody who will approach her to be a sinner. I say, you will never serve the Lord. Well, you can in this church. Who cares? People need people. Come, I'm divorced. 3 wives, 4 wives. It doesn't matter. You can be a pastor. It's okay. They say, Moses said, just write a note and give your wife and go. Get away with it. I say, that's how serious the situation is, and you've put yourself in that position for life.
He said to me, "That's a really great understanding. Could you please give us together that understanding?" I said, "But I've said that. I've taught you on Malachi chapter 2 all the time. It's not going to change anything. You knew that. You knew the consequence of that. You just wanted to be married. You see, marriage is marry and age. Marry for people who are of age. Responsible, mature people. It's not a feel good. It's not to put pictures on Facebook. It's for mature people. Very quickly, you'll find. Put your hand together and let a clam for that lady there. In the corner there. That's marriage. That's marriage. You with your husband, you are a good example, and we see that, and we bless the Lord for that. That's marriage. Things can go this way, things can go this way, but you see them together until one depart, the other depart, all Christ comes. That's marriage. Because things change. You young people, I keep on telling you the same. You see, I'm very open when I speak. You see? I'm very open when I speak. If you come back to me after 5 years, "Oh no, I married, I discover she's a witch." There was a brother whom was asked, "Do you love your wife?" "She's a good cook." "No, do you love your wife?" Not asking how good she is with cooking. Marriage. Marriage. Mariage. Maturity is needed in this. When the standard is fallen, when the foundation is destroyed, what should the righteous do? If the light that is in you becomes darkness, how thicker will darkness be? Where is the model? Let's leave that. These are the kind of things that divert me. Let me come back to wisdom, to wisdom. Now, it's actually consistent. The point I was trying to make is this. Those are the people who will tell you, "I am convinced that God has convinced me this is my spouse." 5 years. Afterward, divorce. How do you call that? Fake revelation. Own imagination. It's not God. You know. How do you know that your wife or your husband? "I had a vision. We were like white dove, you know, knit together and flying and flying." And 5 years after, they're all fake. If wisdom of God was there, God who sees the end from the beginning, the outcome could have been different. If we include God in the equation, not as a spare tire, but as the engine, as the driver, as the oil, the fuel, the everything to move us forward, it will be a different outcome. So, getting understanding also means actively seeking spiritual discernment. Mature comprehension and logical interpretation. Actively seeking spiritual discernment. Otherwise, we give way to foolishness. And that can happen even in the service to the Lord. Serving, running, serving, serving, piling up foolishness and lack of wisdom and piling up and piling up. And we feel good about what we're doing. But it's not necessarily the will of God. We very quickly compared about a few versions of the Bible to see what they say about Proverbs 4, verse 7. And we found this. Get wisdom to get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is to get it first. Start with wisdom to get wisdom. Wisdom is needed to be wise. Wisdom leads to understanding. Wisdom comes from wisdom. There's no wisdom without wisdom. It's all about wisdom, from wisdom to wisdom. And God says it is the principal things. It's the prime. It's the most critical. It's the key things we need in our lives. Wisdom. Relationship, husband and wife, wisdom is needed. Parent, children, wisdom is needed. With friend, with the brethren, wisdom. At work, wisdom. Principal thing, wisdom.
Do you remember there is a verse that says wisdom is going in the street and is shouting, who will listen to me? Wisdom is shouting, he's calling people. People don't want wisdom. Everybody thinks he's wise. And wisdom is there. He's crying. He's shouting in the street. Would you listen to me? Would you listen? Would you receive me? The door is shut. Wisdom and understanding are like twin sisters. Wisdom is the principal thing because it guides humans' daily choices. However, not all forms of wisdoms, I put S there, are from God. Everyone thinks he's wise. 7.9 billion world population in 2022 means also 7.9 billion wisdoms. That's in 22, maybe 8 billion now, wisdom. Everybody's a little god in his corner. Everybody has wisdom. Now, put that together and see the hugeness of the confusion there. 8 billion forms of wisdom. Everybody's stubborn. Everybody's God. Before adding their religion's wisdom and tradition's wisdom. However, the Bible warns, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see? The biblical wisdom is against sin, is against iniquity. More of that in a minute. So that's Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do not be wise in your own opinion, Romans 12:16b. James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom, now, godly wisdom increases discernment in various areas of our life, interpersonal relationship, attitude to work or fellowship with the brethren in the church. It also inspires our attitude through challenging surprise of life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. If any one of us realizes that his or her moral spiritual deficiency, they should ask God. Nowhere else. You don't seek wisdom anywhere else. You ask God. Why? Because God gives it without questioning your motives. If you come to ask God for wisdom, that in itself is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, God will not reject you. But you should not entertain secret doubt in your heart when you're asking that. The Bible says, God will give you without fault finding. God will not make you guilty for asking him wisdom. But if you ask truly in your heart, not because Gia said it, oh Lord, give me wisdom. No. If you truly, truly need God's wisdom, he will give you liberally and without reproach. Let me give you an example of God's wisdom and you will see how special it is. Think about Solomon and the two wives. I can't begin to discern that level of wisdom. Both of them having a child. You know, I used to think maybe the other one had a child, you know, 4 months ago or a year, and this one, 1 month, you make it easier physiologically to know which one has given birth. No, they just all had babies. So there was nothing to be able to discern outwardly. And God gave Solomon a word of wisdom. And Solomon said, bring me, donnez-moi le sabre. Bring me the sword. I'm going to divide in two. The one who was not the mother said, yes. The other one said, oh king, now, give her the child. At least I will have an opportunity to see the child. Give her the king said, give her. Is that wisdom? Ha! And you say we don't need that? In the family? At work? Oh, the devil. riches of wisdom and knowledge. Do we want to seek God's wisdom? Or we want to continue with foolishness? That wisdom convinced everybody that that could only come from God. So it's one prayer the Lord always accepts when it's made without secret doubt in the heart. This is because wisdom is critically needed in every area of our lives and to lead a godly life. What's next? I've already quoted this one. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square, available to everybody. God calls. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask me, God says. Ask him, and he will give. People don't want to hear anything like that because every so stubborn. What's that word? Opinion. Obstinate and opinion. There's one with opinion. That's the one. It's my way. When I'm stuck, then I can pretend to call on God. Now, we can't live like that. A life that is pleasing to God. God is humble and wants us to humble before him and to seek his wisdom in which God delights. But which wisdom then? Well, the Bible makes a distinction between heavenly wisdom and earthly or worldly or demonic wisdom. So I'm not just asking you to be wise and to seek wisdom, you know, from an avatar, from a Hindu guru, from a yogi, any wisdom, because there are as many wisdoms as there are people on this planet Earth. I'm not asking you to go in the supermarket of wisdom with your... No. I'm asking you to turn to God. The depth of riches of wisdom and knowledge. So, heavenly wisdom versus earthly or demonic wisdom. We're going to spend some time on this one. Second reading. Please turn with me to James. James chapter 3. That's James chapter 3. And we're reading from verse 14 to verse 18. James chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 18. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil things are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The hallmark of godly wisdom, the hallmark, the main characteristic, the main feature of it is peacemaking. You hear a lot about wisdom even in the church, but when you look at the fruit of that, it brings something completely alien. It says, this cannot be the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is pure and peaceable, you know, and is sown in righteousness. Okay, let's move on. Let's continue. So, let him show by good conduct, that verse 13 of that passage, verse 13, who is wise and understanding. You see again, wisdom and understanding among you. Let him show by good conduct that his work are done in the meekness of wisdom. You see, wisdom is meek. Wisdom is not agitated. Wisdom is opposed to sedition and subversion. Wisdom is opposed to provocation. It's peaceable. It's linked to meekness, the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Do you remember Miriam and Aaron? They lied against the truth. Their real problem in their heart was that Moses was chosen by God. No, it wasn't that. Their problem was that Moses had married an Ethiopian woman. That was their problem. But they spiritualized it and they said, does God only speak through you? They spiritualized them. That's lying against the truth. Because in the heart there was conceit. There was self-seeking inside. And they gave the impression that they were on the truth side. No, they were lying against the truth. Quite often you find that, even in churches. But that is for another time. When we look at relationship, you know, God say, if you hate your brother without cause, you've killed, etc., all those things. That is coming as well. Relationship between parent and children, all those things will come to that. Maybe the next three occasions. So, earthly wisdom feature. If you feel like you're sleeping, stand up, stretch yourself a little bit. Yeah. One day I will have a secret camera here and show the picture after. You don't see what I see, but you can discern. Just see the way it's going quiet. You know, some people are very like this. You know, I will have a secret camera here. Move a little bit. Take your pen. Write a little bit. Turn the page of your Bible. Do something that will keep you awake. That's what I do. You know, if you feel like tired, do something. You know, if you go like this, then, you know, remember Etychus. Earthly wisdom's features, characteristic, bitter envy, self-seeking of heart, boasting and lying against the truth. Earthly wisdom is sensual. That is, it's carnal. It's fleshly, and one may behave like an animal. It's sensual. It's all of the flesh. False wisdom. No. It's an appearance of wisdom, but it's foolishness. Because it's carnal. It's fleshly. There's no seeking God in decision making. There's no seeking God's discernment. It's just talk. No. That foolishness. That earthly wisdom. So the hallmark of earthly wisdom is what? Number one, on the top of the list, troublemaking. That's how you recognize that that is not true wisdom. You see, someone who is counseling, let's say a young married couple. The Bible says all the ladies should teach younger ones how to do what? How to love their husband. That's what the Bible says. So you teach younger ladies how to love your husband. We assume that you have experienced it yourself first. Then you can pass on. Then you can teach them how to obey, how to love them. You don't go and say, well, listen, this is the 21st century, you know. No, that's too much, you know. No. Because you're causing trouble. You're not being wise. And you give the impression that you're wise. I know of a lady, you know, everybody come to her and they say things to her. And she say, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And then you hear the story of this lady there, you know, and that one is going to very serious stuff. Very, you know, intimate stuff. And people say, because she can pray for me, we're going to tell her. And then you hear the story goes there. earthly wisdom, giving an appearing of being wise, but just controlling other people's life. Controlling other people's life. Controlling. Before going to someone, why won't you pray for God to direct you where you can find help? You're just going everywhere, everywhere. Why? It's going to cause you a disaster. Troublemaking, sedition, agitation, submission, provocation, confusion is the other hallmark. Confusion. Worldly wisdom brings confusion in the family, between siblings, between husband and wife. If someone is bringing confusion, that is earthly wisdom. The advice to your family always brings trouble and division between husband and wife. Close the door. However, remember in the book of Revelation, the one who was had two horns like a lamb, but was speaking like a dragon, a parody of the Lamb of God. Well, some people are like that. They come to you very nicely, like good, wise counselors, ravenous wolves inside. But we need God's wisdom to be able to see those feet. We don't see people's hearts. God can see. Why don't we go to God? For God to show us whom we're going to go to seek advice if we need one. The Greek word for wisdom is... The Greek word for wisdom is... Thank you. Yeah. Say on. Sophia. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom. Sophia was an important Hellenic Greek. Platonic. Yeah? Bear with me here, yeah? Begin to dive a little bit here. It's an important Hellenic, Platonic, and Gnostic concept denoting cleverness, intelligence, and even skill or reasoning ability. Even forming the root for the word philosophy, meaning love or friend of wisdom. In Greek, wisdom also relates to knowledge. Gnosis is a Greek word that means knowledge. In late antiquity, gnosis was used to designate an intuitive awareness of hidden mysteries. You begin to see that when we go to the Western world, which is shaped by the Greek thinking, because the Greek thinking has shaped the Western culture. The thinking paradigm in the West is shaped by the Greek way of thinking. Now, in the Greek language, wisdom has a different understanding. Is more linked to knowledge. Wisdom is all about secret, hidden knowledge. I haven't confirmed this. I'm still searching on this one. I haven't confirmed, but I think the name Sophia itself, I think is one of the Greek goddesses. Yeah, I think it is. See? So, in the Greek mythology, and even now, knowledge is linked, wisdom is linked to knowledge. So seeking wisdom means getting more knowledge of hidden mysteries. Well, you may say to me, oh, Guy, doesn't the Bible itself speak of mysteries as well? Yes, the Bible does speak of mystery. But the meaning of mysteries in the Bible, it means, a mystery in the Bible means something that has not yet been revealed or has already been revealed. It's all about revelation. It's all about uncovering. That's all it means. It doesn't mean something with a double meaning, something. No, that's not what it means. Nowadays, everyone wants to be known as a sophisticated person, a wise person. That is, having or showing a lot of experience and knowledge about the world and about culture, art, literature. The truth is, that this word, sophisticated, was originally used to mean adulterated. Something that is mixed with a strange agent. It wasn't a virtuous, it was a vicious word initially. The opposite was the virtuous one. Unsophisticated was the nice one because it meant being uncorrupted. But things have changed. So we've gone from what was negative, no, what was with a good meaning has become the bad meaning. Today, if you're unsophisticated, you're the outcast, you're the nobody, you don't understand anything. But initially, being unsophisticated meant being uncorrupted. And being sophisticated meant being corrupted, altered. Things have changed. Everybody wants to be seen as sophisticated today. You know, quite frankly, some believers, you know, I told you many times, I'm not a sophisticated preacher. So if you're a sophisticated listener, you may be bored with what I'm saying here because I'm not sophisticated by this word definition. I've heard people say, Ravi Zacharias is very sophisticated. And then after, he's committed something there. Let's just be simple. The truth is that originally the word unsophisticated meant unclean, impure, dirty, corrupted. This perfectly makes sense. I mean, this cultural shift makes sense. In the context of this cultural shift, where the blame culture has replaced the Judeo-Christian guilt culture. You see the difference between a blame culture and a guilt culture? A blame culture, in a blame culture, you don't care about the impact of what you're doing to people. You only care not to be found out. I think you all have in mind politicians. If they can get away with what they're doing, that's fine. They're not interested about the moral, you know, credential of what they do. No, they're only interested in covering up. So long as they cannot be found, that's it. But in the Judeo-Christian, let me call that mindset, or culture, let's call it culture, you find a guilt culture. If you commit evil, even if no one is looking at you, your functioning conscience makes you guilty. Therefore, you do not do things because people are not looking at you. No. You're just behaving, you know God is there, you know the difference between what is wrong, what is evil, what is good, and you live like that. That is called a guilt conscience. That has been wiped out. Now is a guilt, is a blame conscience. I don't want to be blamed. If only I can get away with my mischief, that's fine. You can begin to understand why the meaning of the word has changed. Now the sophisticated is the one who can get away with the mischief. And the uncorrupted, the unsophisticated, has now become the ignorant, the stupid, the idiot. Okay. The word gnosis is used for knowledge, doctrine, or wisdom. Therefore, the idea of secret, higher, and hidden insight is very much present in the understanding of the Greek word. Thus, the Gnostics boast of the applied knowledge. A Have you ever? Let's leave that. The Gnostics boast of the applied knowledge gained by their personal spiritual experiences. Gnosticism is literally the cult based on having special personal knowledge and experience. That's it. Someone spoke of the Christian root of Gnosticism and humanism. I say no. You see, if I have to choose between the word biblical and Christian, I always choose biblical. Because we don't know what Christianity means today. Someone said to me, "Gee, you're a Christian?" I say, "Yes, of which brand?" I said, "The biblical brand." He was disarmed. Now, there's no such thing as Christian root of Gnosticism or humanism, no. It's simply another deceptive gospel. I call that, for our simplicity, ADG. Another deceptive gospel. There is a link between ADG, another deceptive gospel, and the original version of Gnosticism. That's my responsibility to say that. If you quote that, say it's me. And send your challenges to me, maybe. Because they will say to you, "Where did you get that to you?" If they come to me, I don't have an answer, I will say it's a revelation from God. Link between ADG and the original version of Gnosticism, i.e., devil's promise to access higher and hidden knowledge in the Garden of Eden. I see that as the original version of Gnosticism. God knows you will surely not die. God knows that the day your eyes will be open, you will be like him. Gnosticism. Higher knowledge. I know you want us to continue, but we have to stop here. Next time, I can see, but we have to stop for the sake of discipline. There is plenty, don't worry. I wasn't planning part two of this, but we'll come back to that. We're going to stop there. And a note will be made available to you. And you will learn all about the Lucy's Trust, all the, Alice Bailey, all the Marilyn Ferguson, all the Blavatsky Madame. You will learn about all those things. God willing. The root of New Age, etc. All part of this wisdom-to-wisdom teaching. The friendship of God is for those who fear the Lord. Chrissy is going to lead us in that song. And the end result of this, where we want to go, we will want God to deliver you if you're still playing with those things. If you're still standing between yoga and meditation and the Bible, we want God to deliver you. If you're still between African witchcraft and Christianity, we want God to deliver you. That will be the end of it, and let's see what God is going to do. Let's stand together and sing, and then we'll pray, close, and go back home and enjoy the sun. God bless you.